Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast. If we didn't exist, you'd have to invent us. Coming up on this week's show, WebOS RIP HP kills the child it tried to save. We'll have all the latest from a busy-ish Gamescom in Germany, including a big price cut for the PS3. And the lawyers have had another successful week as Apple locks horns with Samsung and HTC. Plus, we'll have a look ahead to next month's IFA. TVs and tablets head the bill. All that and some tasteless willy jokes, courtesy of my co-host, the lovely Ree Morgan, and not the man who wrote the book of willy jokes, T3's Mr. Duncan Bell, who isn't here this week.
I know. It's a travesty he's not here. He's jet-setting in Hong Kong somewhere. He's got some Virgin flights.
Ree, welcome.
Aw, thanks. Thanks for having me, Dan.
And as you mentioned, I'm not in the studio this week.
No. I'm on my own in the studio.
Yeah, Ree is on her own talking into a microphone in an empty room.
Cupboard.
As she often does. And I'm here in sunny Cartmel, just on the edge of the Lake District, in right at the tip of Lancashire.
Oh, Dan, I could have popped in to see you yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, I was in Wharton.
Well,
which is near
not
Preston,
a million miles away. And what were you doing there?
It's my gadget of the week, so I'll divulge later.
Oh, right. Okay. I'll ask no more questions.
No, don't.
Well, we can't ask Dunk how his week's been. So how's your week been, Ree?
It's been okay, thanks, Dan. It's been all right. Yeah. Nothing major's happened. I wasn't caught up in a flash flood or anything. That was terrible. All those people
slow
in Bournemouth listening. Hope they're okay. nothing major's happened to me this week. I feel bad because I haven't got like a hatred for some HTC phone or anything.
You didn't read the front cover of the Metro on your way into work today?
What?
Surely would have furnished you with a story. That's what Duncan does when nothing's happening.
Oh, no, today was A-level results, unless I had like a massive... Boy. Although, I don't understand that. Apparently A-level people now get 7 A-levels and you can get A star.
Well, it's because you do ASs now. You see,
but
you do
7?
Like half A-levels.
I got 4. I was like, what's this? I thought they were GCSE.
I got 3.
I thought they were GCSE results. I was like, what? 7 A-levels? It's unheard of.
It's all changed, Ree. Don't even try and understand it. On, though, to our top story. And we all rejoiced when HP swooped to rescue the brilliant WebOS from an ailing palm. But 3 smartphones and a tasty tablet later, HP has swooped once again. This time to kill off the OS it built its future upon. Ree, your reaction.
Sofa Hippo, brackets,
poor HP.
Terry Maline.
HP, poor WebOS employees.
Well, I'm sure they'll find them some job to do to build another OS. But I just feel really bad. You know, it is a really good OS. It just hasn't had the backing of anyone. Like, no one, who knows about WebOS?
You would think, wouldn't you? I mean, when HP took over, we thought, well, this is it, because this is what a lot of people consider to be the best mobile OS. We've raved about it. Lots of people have raved about it.
Yeah.
Couple that with the world's biggest computer manufacturer.
Yeah.
Hey, presto, Bob's your uncle.
You'd think the job's a good one. Done.
Exactly.
Goodbye, Apple. Goodbye, Android. Hello, WebOS. But alas, no. Just didn't happen.
Just incredible. This is what HP have said. HP plans to announce that it will discontinue operations for WebOS devices. Now, that may be a key word, devices. Specifically, the touchpad and WebOS phones. It says HP will continue to explore options to optimize the value of WebOS software going forward.
So what does that mean?
There is that glimmer of hope.
Yeah, so they're not going to, maybe what they mean is they're not going to do any devices running WebOS. They're going to just concentrate on WebOS.
Yeah, the hardware has been canned. That is it. Which is extraordinary because we had a new touchpad announced. We were talking
Palm
about, even this week, we were talking about the Palm Pre 3,
yeah.
The HP Pre 3. Landing in the UK this week, you know.
Gone.
Incredible.
They didn't even get a chance. They should just, no, it's just not going to happen. But maybe they'll do like what Android's done and just do WebOS for different tablets. But that's going to be a really crowded market for, because Windows is already doing it, Android.
Yeah, how many OSs do we need? I've had reports on the web from a meeting with employees of the WebOS Global Business Unit. WebOS Global Business Unit Vice President, Stephen DeWitt, apparently said several times, we're not walking away from WebOS, and detailed a plan to try to determine what the platform's future will look like. Said that'll take place in the next 2 weeks, although admitting clearly we don't have all the answers today. So it sounds like they've kind of made the announcement. They're not quite sure where they're going with it next, but they are going to do something.
It's awful. Like those meetings, I'm sure they come from like a manual book of like how to tell employees. Like,
how just to basically deliver say, bad news.
Yeah, basically say, you don't know, you don't have all the answers. 2 weeks is usually the optimum time for you to make all the decisions and then... But poor WebOS.
What is it in 2 weeks they're going to decide they don't know now? I mean, you'd think you'd decide exactly what you were going to do, then announce it.
Yeah, why didn't they just say? But I think, I don't know, it's a really tough one, isn't it? Whether they will carry on with WebOS and will that actually work? Like in another year, they'll go, no, we're not going to do WebOS anymore. Unless they put it on desktops, maybe. Wow. Like the next Windows 8, they might kind of, because they've got haven't they?
It's too good to die. It's such a crying shame. I mean, if you look at the timeline of the pre, it's just a. So CES 2009, we go back to here. Remember, Palm had died. Really, it had invented almost the PDA. Even the Palm phones had been, you know, the Trio and so on.
Yeah. My mum had a Trio.
Palm swallowed Handspring. Exactly, yeah, they were good phones.
Yeah, they were business phones, yeah.
But
I remember
Palm
when...
never really...
Yeah, but I remember when the pre-announced, everyone was so excited.
Well, this is it. So that was CES 2009, so that's January 2009. They showed off this thing. It was such a leap from the old Palm OS. It was huge. June 2009 is how long it took for it actually to come to the market. Mm. And that was only in the US. And bear in mind, you know, the new iPhone had launched in that time.
Yeah.
When they unveiled Palm OS, the Web OS, it looked so ahead of the competition.
Yeah, it looked like nothing we'd ever seen before.
And then they spent, 6 months? Another 6 months before anything appeared. And then it was October before it actually landed here. And by that time, it had just...
Yeah.
Everyone had lost interest. There were newer, better things on the market.
Yeah, it's just they took too long to get out there. And like in this time, we'd named it like the number one hottest gadget of 2009.
Exactly.
And then it was like, by the time it came out, it was like, maybe not.
People got far too excited about Android, far too excited about the new iPhones. I mean, it was in May the following year that HP actually took it over. But again, it wasn't until October.
Mm.
So another 5 months after the HP takeover and a year from when the original Pre had landed in Europe that the Pre 2 landed. And the Pre 2, it was a tweak.
Yeah, you know, that kind of came and went, phone. Didn't it?
Took off a lot of the, you know, dealt with a lot of the criticisms of the original Pre, but it wasn't a leap forward, you know, certainly not compared to where the competition was by October 2010 when that finally actually landed.
Yeah, it's just, and the Pre 2, no one was really excited about it anymore because it wasn't anything new, there wasn't...
It was kind of the phone that they should have launched in January 2009 that would have blown everyone away.
This has got like touches of Nokia about it, isn't it? Because that was one of the main criticisms about Nokia was they take too long to bring phones to market.
But you see, with Nokia, what they were launching was crap. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, Mego was good. Okay, Mego. Yeah, there's a touch of Mego about it because what Nokia generally was doing was pretty rubbish. And then Mego finally arrived and was like, oh, actually, this is quite good, but far, far too late. And the touchpad wasn't officially announced. This is the excellent tablet that marries so well with the phone. That wasn't announced until February this year.
That's mad, isn't it?
So far behind. And again,
I don't understand why.
Took months
why?
To come to market. Didn't land until last month. You know, it's just, you want to scream at these people.
What took you so long?
Exactly. The Wall Street Journal on Tuesday, it reported Best Buy had only managed to sell, this is in the US, 25,000 of the 270,000 touchpads that it took from HP.
Oh, dear. That's not a good result, is it?
It just says it all, doesn't it?
That's terrible.
I mean, you can see why they've pulled the plug, but...
Yeah, but why didn't they... Why they've pulled the plug now, but yeah. July, that's what, a month ago, surely they would have known back then, like, this isn't going well, guys. You know,
well, I think
look
they
at
must
the competition.
Have known for a while that it's not going anywhere, but I can't understand how HP have cocked this up.
Yeah.
Such a big company. They had the resources to make this a success.
Yeah, they've had the resources to make it massive, you know, but... Do you think they were? They must have felt like they were lumbered with WebOS and kind of thought, oh, we've got this touchpad, you know, it's on the way. We're going to have to launch it, but it's just...
They must have felt that, yeah. I don't know how they got it wrong. Reaction on Twitter. The Big Yeti, Paul B, says he's mad. I work for an HP reseller. Just 2 months ago was an HP event. WebOS was their whole future. Everything was based around it. And that's so true. Printers, tablets, everything HP was going to be totally WebOS, you know.
Yeah, I went to an event, I think it was last month, when they were launching the touchpad in the UK, and they were harping on about WebOS and kind of everything was WebOS. They had this big, huge, glitzy party, and it was all just a massive turnaround.
I mean, clearly everyone who works there has been taken by surprise, you know. I mean, they haven't seen this coming. Andy Mitchell, $1.2 billion down the pan. Yes, I think that's a lot of money. Has clearly gone awry.
Glove Pup.
Poor Glover. I think they're insane. Listening to your podcast and others, there was obvious hope that WebOS could be good. It was good. It just didn't have the backing. And
they just didn't believe, Dan. They didn't believe.
They didn't believe. Isa Capaldi, I think they've just had it. And point blank admit it, Apple, you win. That's pretty much what's happened. Before we hit the news, we should also mention another big takeover this week. Google announcing a deal to buy Motorola Mobility, which is the bit that actually makes phones, for $12.5 billion. That's £7.7 billion.
Is it just me, or did that come out of left field? I did not see that coming.
It did a bit. Although, We have mentioned on the podcast before that Google needs patents and Motorola have patents.
Yeah.
So not necessarily a ridiculous. And what they've said as well is that they're going to run it as a separate company. So I don't think this means imminent arrival of, you know, lots of Google phones, Google, you know, changing tack to become a hardware and an OS manufacturer. I think they just needed the patents, I would guess.
Move, though. Foremost,
makes sense. Makes sense.
Yeah, for both of them, really. Is it smart? Because Motorola wasn't really, you know, it needed a backing from someone. Although they are huge, obviously.
A bit of a bolster. Yeah. Let's hope that Google do better with Motorola than HP did with WebOS.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's plenty more where that came from. So let me say, here is the news. First up, Gamescom, where Sony's announced it's cutting the price of the PS3 by more than £50 to just £199, and, in a shock move, unveiled a pared-down PSP to launch alongside the Vita. The PSP E1000 loses Wi-Fi, but gains a €99 price tag.
It's a smart move. Bad news for anyone awaiting the PS4. CEO of Sony Computer Entertainment, Jim Ryan, told Gamescom, "All I'm focused on right now is making the most of PS3, pouring cold water on rumours of a 2012 launch. But hey, Sony did confirm that one new PS3 product will be hitting the UK. The 24-inch PlayStation 3D TV lands this autumn, priced at £499.
Costly. Nintendo's revealed it's launched a revamped and streamlined Wii in time for Christmas. With the Wii U not arriving till next year, the Family Edition bundle will feature the new Slim console plus Wii Sports and Wii Party.
EA used Gamescom to trumpet the official FIFA 12 demo, which will be made available to eager gamers on the 13th of September, a little over 2 weeks before the official FIFA 12 UK release date. It's also confirmed the return of FIFA Street, utilising the latest feature from FIFA 12 and heading to consoles next year.
Samsung has succeeded in having Apple's Europe-wide ban of the Galaxy Tab 10.1 lifted. It's now back on sale in the UK after lawyers argued the German court's decision only applied in Germany. Meanwhile, in another legal twist, HTC has filed a lawsuit to ban the sale of the iPhone and iPad in the US, claiming copyright infringement.
You can make like a Tech Sopranos or something out of these. And finally, after discovering of a complete fake Apple store in China last month, another 22 dodgy stores have been found, all in the city of Kunming. The original, featuring white walls, Apple branding and staff in Apple t-shirts, complete with a lanyard ID, was discovered by US blogger Bird Abroad, who called it a beautiful rip-off. The giveaway? The walls hadn't been painted properly.
You've got to paint those walls.
Yeah. I reckon we should make a TV program out of those lawsuits. But like a mad drama. You can get someone from like, I don't know, someone from West Wing in there, someone from 24.
Yeah, well, it's a new saga. It's a new saga every week.
Yeah, every week.
It's never ending.
And then someone from HTC could sleep with someone from Apple to get like inside knowledge and it'd be amazing.
Excellent. Truth stranger than fiction, perhaps. Right, time to see what you've been tweeting to at T3DOTCOM. Ree, you'll have to pick up Duncan's tweets here.
I am picking up Duncan's tweet. I would do it in his voice, but I can't possibly. Paul Hurt, love the way at T3.com podcast. Love the way the at T3.com podcast crew announce their gadget of the week, then spend the next 5 minutes slagging it off.
Gadget of the week, perhaps is the wrong name. It's kind of what we found lying in the office this week.
Well, exactly.
So it can be good.
We don't call it the best gadget of the week.
No,
it's just,
it is just a gadget.
Yeah, that we've
that
seen
we
this
week.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. What else have you got?
Pip55, Phil W, at T3.com. I have issues. Oh, sorry. I have issues 1 to 6 of T3 Mag. All
1
mint.
To 16.
Oh, 1 to 16. All mint. Issue one out November 1996. Know anyone who'd want them? Actually, Phil may have emailed me because someone emailed me the other day. I was speaking to him on the phone saying they had all these issues. Mm. And I told Luke, our editor, and because I think we're coming up to some anniversary issue. So I think he might want something to do with them, or he might want to take a picture of them. But yeah, I've passed on the details, and I'll pass on Phil's details as well if it wasn't the same guy.
Excellent.
So yeah.
Excellent. I wonder what happened. You see, you got to issue 16 and then thought, nah, not for me.
Nah,
and
then, maybe not.
They've just sort of sat there all the time. You know, what happened to issues 17 to umpteen 108, you know?
Yeah. Hmm? What happened to 194 now?
194.
Yeah, issue 194 was out on the shelves.
He was a loyal reader for 16 months.
Well, then. That's over a year.
Yeah.
You know, what happened? Maybe I'll have a look at issue 16 and kind of go, oh, I understand where Phil's coming from. Yeah. That was a bad one.
Issue 17. Maybe issue 17 was a bit of a, you know, bit of an iffy one.
Just let him down.
And then that never came back. Ace King 2, otherwise known as Kenny McMillan from Fife. Oh, this is a sorry tale, actually. Now, these are three tweets that were tweeted from... I've taken these direct from his stream. The three tweets in order. Okay, so 16th of August, he asked, when is the next iPad issue of T3 out? Very nice tweet there. Do we know?
Is it out today. It was out yesterday.
Out today,
in fact. It was out yesterday. 18th.
Right, so 18th. 17th of August, his very next tweet is, my flight status, British Airways 1439 from EDI. Today at 9:20 to LHR. Today at 10:45. Scheduled on time. Excellent. So he's getting some sort of plane. Plane's on time. That's his next tweet.
To London Heathrow.
Then the story takes a terrible twist. 17th of August, his next tweet is, left iPad on 9:20 BA flight 1439. Now in Canada for 6 weeks' work with no photos a wife and three kids. Please retweet and hope it's handed in.
Oh, no.
See, he was desperate to get his yeah. T3 on his iPad, got on a plane, leaves the iPad.
Oh, dear. Has but he got it back? Do we know?
He's not just tweeted us, actually. He's also sent this plea to Amir Khan, Vernon Kay, Fern Cotton, Jensen Button, Jamie Oliver, Lance Armstrong, and Mrs. Kutcher, who is, on Twitter, Demi Moore.
Oh. Were they all on the flight with him?
Yeah, he's basically calling on the world of celebrity to help him find his iPad.
Oh, has he found it? Have we got any updates from X King 2?
No, he's still not found it. He's still iPadless. So if anyone can help Kenny find his iPad...
Maybe you should just go old school and call BA. Just, you know,
I was kind of thinking the same. You know, if he's left it in the seat, a cleaner will find it. It'll get handed in.
You know, maybe just ring them. Maybe you know, not. Like, I know
new media is great and all, but sometimes just picking up the phone.
Yeah, just give them a call.
Call
in
the lost property department.
Yeah.
On Facebook, thank you to Adam Robbins and Simon White, who, in answer to a question posed on the group, the question was, "How can I create an app in iOS?" Have between them pointed out the excellent website lmgtfy.com, which stands for "Let me Google that for you." You know when someone asks a question you instead of just saying "Have you Googled it?" you go to lmgtfy, Google it for them, and then send them a special link that it creates, which is basically an animation of you typing the question into Google. And the answer appearing.
That's amazing.
It's absolutely brilliant. And sure enough, the answer was the first response in Google. So there
that's
we
amazing.
Go. LMGTFY.com, right. An essential tool for
from now on,
forum user.
Everyone in the office is going to get that. Every day it's like, do you know what this is? And I'm like, okay, I'll just do.
Let me just Google that for you.
Yeah.
Nathan Dunn just started reading The Death of Alan Bell by Adam.
Wow.
I would recommend it.
I would as
the
well.
Book, remember? Yeah. Adam Bunker, we mentioned, has written a book. It's not published. And it's called The Death of Alan Bell. I don't think we could remember the name of it last time.
No, we couldn't.
So, there we are.
I think he's getting it printed this week, actually.
There we are. Jason Allen, I've got to say, the discussion about the auto text correction was brilliant this week. He's talking about last week's pod. What a laugh. Leon Fenner has added to this field. I downloaded SwiftKey for Android. For some reason, it predicts a sentence saying, "I am a rape victim."
What is he trying to type?
Please don't press send, Leon. I can't work out what he was trying to type from that. And also, we should big props to Matthew Alner, who's provided a new logo.
I know, it's awesome.
Which now features all three of us in sort of really looks a bit sort of pissed off.
I do look angry, actually.
My head is slightly larger than everyone else's.
Duncan's just
his usual self.
Yeah.
So there we are.
I think he is hogging the limelight somewhat with his Freddy Krueger
picture.
He's there
in the middle.
Whatever, you know, I'm fine with it.
You know,
I can see now a logo just of my massive face, just to be like...
Yes,
maybe someone should do, like, I'd like one where they've merged all our faces together. Like, what would we look like?
Oh,
if you had like
freaky Benetton advert. Or
yeah, like Duncan's bald head, your eyes,
now
and my
then,
mouth.
Re, brace yourself.
Mm-hmm. What we got wrong on
the
T3
podcast. The return of what we got wrong on the T3 podcast last week. Yes, because last week we said this.
Sofa Hippo, brackets Terry Maline.
Followed by...
Is his name really Terry Maline?
And?
No, that's his stated name of Sofa Hippo.
Concluding with...
The Maline people are a proud race.
Don't malign the Malines.
Yes.
Don't malign the maligns, Duncan.
We really went with that one.
Did warn. Well, you see, the thing is, I've had a tweet back from Sofa Hippo, who we did call Mr. Malign. You got my name wrong in podcast 195. It's pronounced Malion, not Malign. Right. Adding, God, I thought you were better than that.
God, Dan. Aren't you like the aficionado on like strangely spelled surnames?
I've investigated because, you see, I went back and I looked at the script and it does say, it says Malign, M-A-L-I-G-N.
Yeah.
But then if you look back at his tweet, his name is Malion, M-A-L-Y-O-N. I couldn't work out what had happened. And then I realised that it's autocorrect. It struck once again.
No.
Malion has been autocorrected to Malign. So I do apologise, Sofa Hippo. It was an honest mistake. Yeah. That's all I'll say.
Sorry about that.
I know. Autocorrect. We are better than that, though.
Have you seen that website?
But it's autocorrect.
Have you seen the website which pulls in all the autocorrect mistakes? Type it in, like, let me Google that for you. It's basically all these autocorrect mistakes, things like, oh, it's terrible. Like things you should never text your mum, and then someone has texted their mum that, oh, it's awful. Type in, like, worst autocorrect, and you'll find
the website. Well, we will add that one to the list, and very, very sorry, Sophie Hippo. What we got wrong on the T3 podcast last week. We haven't had one of those for a while.
I know.
Now then, what have we got for our gadget of the week?
Well, Dan.
Now, you've drummed this up, you see, Rhys. So yeah. I'm expecting big things.
Yeah, so yesterday I went to Wharton, which is the base of BAE Systems, which are the guys who make all the amazing aeroplane, like fighter jets for the MOD and others. And I got to go on.
Previously known as British Aerospace.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And I got to go on their new simulator, which is basically the best Krypton factor ever. It was to fly their F-35 fighter jet, which is the new breed of fighter jets. And basically they've got this simulator, which has got, it's kind of like 180 degree vision. So you sit in basically the cockpit of the plane and they project the landing strip, the takeoff, the sky. You can fly around Britain. So I basically flew around Britain in the simulator.
And what does it look like? Because these old ones, whenever you used to see them, like Britain would look like some sort of 8-bit block rendition.
No, this is like all modelled. They've modelled it like they would. It's all like modelled computing, but really advanced modelled computing. So you can see like the Blackpool Tower. You can see like people's houses. We flew over this guy's house who was showing what he was doing.
Does it spin you around? Is it like the R360?
No, it doesn't spin you around, but it does like when you go into, basically I had it on a really safe mode where there was no wind, the sea was calm, everything, there was no rain. But you can have, they do have other kind of environments and it's on hydraulics. So it does, when it's windy and when you're landing, you feel it.
You get a bit of a force feedback. Now, given your experience with the Yorban, did you manage to crash it?
No, I didn't crash it. I landed it because there's a pilot next to me going, okay, push the throttle down. I'm just going to change gear.
That's what you needed on the Yorban.
Yeah, I know. And yet again, they didn't tell me how to stop. So I had to land on a boat and then I had to instantly take off again because I didn't know how to stop. But yeah, it was an amazing experience. And
given that this is your gadget of the week, is this something you can actually buy?
No, you can't buy any of these things. But it's still,
if you were to put a price on it, what would you hazard a guess at?
Oh, they wouldn't tell me, but it's millions and millions of pounds.
Millions.
Excellent. Of pounds.
A fabulous gadget of the week. Is there a full review on T3.com?
There is a piece in next month's issue, and there'll be a video of me seeing.
Excellent.
Doing the simulator.
Perhaps a head-to-head with other similar priced gadgets.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay. Thank you, Ree. Now, we've had CES, we've had Mobile World Congress. Next up for new tech goodies is IFA. It kicks off next month in Germany. What are we expecting, Ree?
Tablets aplenty, I think.
Lots of lovely tablets, but none from HP.
None from HP. I think Samsung. I think actually last year was Android. I think Windows might. We might see a glimpse of Windows this year.
An actual problem. The Sony S1 and S2, which you've kind of just seen lots of pictures of.
I actually saw them in the flesh, but they weren't turned on. And they look pretty good, but hopefully.
We've seen pictures. Mm. I think we can finally get some firm details on these.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get some full-on details of what they're actually going to do with these S1 and S2. Because they've done some kind of weird videos, like teaser videos of what we'll be able to do. But hopefully we'll be able to get our hands on one in IFA.
And the Samsung Galaxy Tab 8.9, which we've only really seen in... we saw it in a conference in the US. So
hopefully seeing that.
Making an appearance in the flesh.
Yeah, and apparently Samsung are going to bring out tablets of all different sizes. Like kind of, okay, Apple have got that size, so let's just make all the other sizes.
And then, of course, when Apple bring out smaller ones, Samsung can say,
we're already there, sitting pretty. Us. Yeah. Mm. Ban you now.
The Samsung Galaxy Q, which is sort of, it's kind of their Dell streak, really, isn't it? 5.3-inch touchscreen, blah, blah, blah. So again, that kind of, is it a phone, is it a tablet sort of thing.
They should learn from the Dell streak. It didn't really take off.
Yeah, I'm not hugely confident on anything like that. For me, just falls between two stools. Lots of TVs?
Yeah, loads of TVs. Smart TV, again, I think, is going to be a huge one. And 3D.
On live, a TV.
On live and a TV, BT have teamed up with them. We saw the actual thing. I don't know what you call it, a controller? You know, the bit you get with on live.
Yeah, cause it's not a console, that's the whole point. So yeah, it's kind of like an Apple TV
box, the bit you get with it.
It's a set-top box.
Yeah, set-top box. And so hopefully we'll see that in action in IFA. So that'll be exciting.
Cool. Yeah, smart TV was pretty big at CES, so it'd be nice to see a few more polished examples.
Yeah, it'd be nice to like see them like push it out, see what they can actually do. Because there's these apps like Teletext and Total Film and
Love Film, yeah.
It'd be nice for them to actually do something different with the apps, like really make use of the estate of the size of a TV, but
nice about IFA as well is because it's in Germany, we get to see what they're actually planning for Europe as opposed to all the US angle.
Yeah, definitely.
CES, so. Good.
I'm out there.
Out in Berlin.
Yeah. So I'm going out there.
They do tend to hold these things in, you know, actually quite decent places. IFA's Berlin, Mobile World Congress Barcelona, CES Las Vegas. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, Nokia World, London.
Yeah, that's good. Excellent. Well, it all kicks off on the 2nd of September, and as we mentioned, Ree will be there with plenty of coverage on T3.com. But that is about all for this week. Remember, T3.com has all the latest. T3 is on the shelves and on the iPad, and we're on iTunes every Friday. Till next week, then, I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 Podcast.